Shall we begin?
Let's begin now.
You're listening to the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on HoopFeed.com.
Hey everybody, it's David Siegel welcoming you to another Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on HoopFeed. And you know, last week we had the WNBA draft, and we were getting ready for that, and that means that training camp is right around the corner. And the first of our WNBA shows that I really wanted to have was, you know, a friend of the show, but a new position, a head coach of the Indiana Fever. I'm pleased to welcome back Stephanie White to Dishin' and Swishin'. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, David?
I'm doing great. So, Coach, the first question is, yeah, how is the view in the war room sitting in the head table at the head of the table instead of to the sides?
Well, you know, the view is still the same. I think when we start communicating about players and things like that, it's still the same. It's just, you know, you have a little more skin in the game, I think, when you're the one that's going to be making decisions about how the player's utilized, the way they'll fit into the system, you know, those types of things. But you know, it's never really easy to emphasize how much being a part of a staff with Lynn Dunn really helps prepare you for that, because she gives you that entire experience being an assistant and working for her.
Now, let's talk about that for a second. Now, you played for Lynn, you coached under Lynn, and then you coached beside Lynn, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So you, I would assume that we will certainly see a lot of Lynn Dunn influence on the Indiana Fever continuing as Stephanie White is head coach.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, our core values certainly won't change. The things that we're about in terms of our toughness, in terms of, you know, our teamwork, our defensive and rebounding identity. You know, I hope to be able to build upon that with doing a few other things on the offensive end, obviously tweaking some things on both ends of the floor. But yeah, I mean, absolutely. If it isn't broke, don't fix it, right?
Very much true. I mean, this was a team, despite the fact that the final record was 16-18 last year, but the East was just kind of a car crash, basically, with everybody in the middle there. But that was good enough for second place, and you swept Washington in the first round of the playoffs before falling to Chicago. So it did seem that by the end of the year, though, that this team had run out of gas, that age and playing year-round and all of these things sort of caught up with the Fever a little bit last year.
I absolutely think so. You know, I think it's something that every team in this league at some point or another runs into. Whether it be injuries, you know, and not having players throughout different parts of the season, and really just don't quite have the time to get healthy. You mentioned the year-round playing. You know, we had a core group of players who are now in their fifth, sixth, seventh, you know, years of playing year-round. So it certainly wasn't evident that we had run out of gas, and I think it's evident when you see it physically as far as getting up and down the floor, but more so in execution and time and score situations. You see that daily. And I think that's one of the toughest parts of our job is how do we manage the day-to-day practices. You need to be on the floor to get better. You need to be on the floor to create a rhythm on both ends of the floor, to create trust in one another. Yet at the same time, you need to manage the ability to save their legs and make sure you're fresh for the games. And that's a tough part about our league.
Well, old woman river continues to keep on rolling, but we're starting to see the end of it. End of the
wait, who are you talking about? I don't have a clue.
And that would be Tamika Catchings.
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to believe she's been here that long. You know, I think back to the day that we drafted her and she came out of college injured, and you know the impact that she made just from being on the bench and communicating in that year to the impact that she has had with this franchise through her play every single day, in practice, in the games, the impact she's made on this community with her Catch the Stars Foundation, just her generosity with her time as well as, you know, financially with her scholarships, camps and clinics. I mean, it's amazing how fast time flies. But she certainly has made the imprint in our city, much in the same way that Peyton Manning did for the Colts, much in the same way that Reggie Miller did for the Pacers. And we have two more years to be able to utilize her on the floor and for her to be able to groom and to help our next generation of players understand what it takes every single day.
Well, she's certainly going to have some young forwards and centers to try and help with the inside game. Now, you know, last year you guys drafted Natalie Achonwa, and of course she was injured and sat out the year. Natasha Howard started out really strong and then faded a little bit, as many rookies do, as the season went on. And now you've added Chelsea Gardner from Kansas with your first-round draft choice. So that is three very talented, similar in build, but sort of different in type of game, additions to the front line of the Fever.
Yeah, no question. I mean, we certainly were lucky last year when we were able to take Natalie Achonwa in the first round, which, you know, essentially became like a first-round pick for us this year. You know, what she brings, not just in her physical nature in terms of her size and her strength, her ability to play multiple positions, but her IQ, the way she knows the game, the way she studies the game, the experience that she's had, you know, at the highest level. She was an Olympian while she was a college athlete, you know, playing for Notre Dame, playing for Muffet McGraw. I mean, she's certainly going to be somebody, she's going to have an adjustment, no question. I mean, all rookies do, and she's coming off of injury. So, again, you're not even having a typical normal adjustment of a rookie now. You're recovering from injury as well, but somebody who has a very bright future in our league. And you mentioned Natasha Howard. You know, it's always a tough adjustment when you're a player like Natasha who's getting a lot of quality minutes early because Tamika wasn't playing, and then Tamika comes back, and it's sort of trying to figure out and find your way in a different rotation with more limited minutes, maybe not playing through some of the things that you were able to play through early. Not only are you adjusting to the league and you're playing coming off of a college season, but now you're trying to find your way again. You kind of think, oh, I got to figure it out. This is what my role is. This is what I'm supposed to do. And then all of a sudden Tamika Catchings comes back and you have to try to find your way again. And I think that Natasha struggled with that at times last year. I fully expect her to, you know, she's gone overseas and she's gotten more experience, and I expect her to come back confident and really fighting every day for that spot. And Chelsea Gardner, you know, I think she has great potential. Her skill set is very good. Her versatility, being able to play multiple positions. But somebody who just intrigues you with her ability to put the ball on the floor, knock down that 15, 17-foot jump shot, play with her back to the basket. I mean, she played a number of roles for Kansas in her 4 years there, and I think that she has the potential to be a very good pro player. And we'll see how she adjusts early.
And then the other addition that I wanted to talk about briefly was you guys went out and you made a trade with San Antonio, adding Shanice Johnson, who is a very physical, tall guard, somebody that certainly fits what I would always describe as an Indiana Fever type of player.
Yeah, she really does. I mean, she's got a toughness about her, a competitive edge, a physicality, and her ability to play the game. You know, one of the things that always has drawn me to her is not only her skill set. I mean, she can put the ball on the floor. She can shoot the mid-range shot. She's worked on her three-point game. But that she can play any position on the floor. I mean, you can play her at any one of those perimeter positions. So I think it's going to take a little bit of pressure off of Breon January to have a Shanice Johnson who can help bring the ball off the floor, that can help initiate offense. I think it will help, you know, alleviate some of what we've had to do. I mean, you know, Bree has logged a lot of minutes for this franchise on both ends of the floor, and being able to bring somebody in like Shanice who can help take some pressure off of her on both ends of the floor, I think is certainly going to help. Also, another scorer. I mean, I think that she has just scratched the surface of her potential on the pro level. You know, this is sort of a new life for her, it being able to come to a new team and a team that has, you know, high expectations for what she can do on the floor. And the expectation level is for her to come in and contribute in all areas immediately. You know, and she's got the experience now in the league. She understands what it's all about. And now she's going to have an opportunity to come in and battle for a starting position and really, I think, you know, blossom into a different role.
One of the things that has been enjoyable to watch about the Fever over the years, and Johnson I think will fall into that same category, is I don't want to say you guys have taken other people's cast-offs or things like that, because that's not what I mean. But a lot of talented college players, be it, you know, a Larkins, be it there's so many others.
Marissa Christmas.
You guys have had Marissa Coleman, mm-hmm. who have had the talent that didn't really thrive in other people's systems, but they've found a spot because you guys have adjusted things to suit what they need to do. And I think that Johnson is one of those players that's going to be able to do that, that you guys, with the flexibility on your roster, with Catchings being able to play anywhere, with January being able to play on and off the ball, Larkins being a little undersized, can guard some fours. You know, you guys have that flexibility, Zealous being able to play multiple positions. You guys are a very tough matchup, and it's easy to plug in talented people and get them to work. And that's something that you and Lynn, in particular, as coaches of the last few years, deserve a lot of credit for.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. You know, I think that the biggest thing is when you get to this level, it's just about finding the right fit in an organization with a team, the right system. But the underlying values of what our franchise has always been about, it's about hard work. It's about toughness. It's about defending and rebounding. And if you are willing to play within those values, you're going to get time. You know, we don't always necessarily need the player who can score a lot of points if you're going to give up a lot of points. You know, we don't need the player who can do everything individually but doesn't know how to play within the framework of a team. And there are a lot of players who are just waiting for an opportunity to be given to them to just play the game and to play their game, not necessarily change their game to fit a certain style or a certain system, or to be pigeonholed into a one-dimensional player. And I think that that's part of finding yourself at the pro level, but I also think it's part of the culture of the type of players that we want in our organization. And that's certainly not going to change, as I have become head coach, and it's certainly something that we're all about. And I hope that because of that, players want to play here, and they want to play in this organization. They want to play for us. We haven't even mentioned the terrific staff that I have yet with Gary Kloppenberg and Gail Gessenkors, and want to be a part of a franchise that utilizes what you can do versus what you can't do and talks about what you can't do. And I think that's what we're all about.
Before we get to the coaches, which I do want to touch on, I brought up Shavonte Zealous. I do have a question about her availability. Now, my understanding is she is now an international commodity, mm-hmm. and that she will be playing in Eurobasket and miss some time?
Yeah, she'll miss some time. There are some certain qualification tournaments that she'll miss for. Natalie will miss some time with Team Canada and some of their qualifications that they'll have for. And, you know, that's just something that we have to deal with in the league. I mean, it's non-controllable on our end, and you know, you play the players that are here when they're here, and the ones that aren't when they come back. You fit them back into what you're doing. And, you know, I think everybody wants an opportunity to compete internationally. Everybody wants an opportunity to play, you know, for medals. And everybody wants an opportunity to make as much money in the short period of time that they get to play internationally. So certainly can't fault anybody for that. But we have to be flexible, and we have to be able to play the players that are here. And I think that's another opportunity for somebody else when Zealous is gone, when Natalie's gone, to come in and to prove every single day that you belong and to show what you have. And then when they come back, not relinquish the spot. You know, I think that's one of the other things, just the competitive nature of our league and of our team. You got to be ready when your number's called. And I think we have players who will be.
No, it's funny because it's the opposite of a few years back when you guys had Aaron Phillips decide to pass on going to Australia. And that helped your team during the regular
Absolutely.
Season when other people had gone. So, you know, I guess the Fever is going to see a little bit how the other half lives on this one.
Exactly, yes.
Well, you know, just another gift for you, Steph, as the first-year coach.
Hey, we got to play the cards we're dealt, right?
Yep. Now, you had brought up Gary is back with the Fever, great assistant coach, great student of the game. And Gail, of course, has had many, many years of success as a head coach. And then just any time you have somebody with her type of credentials, it's great for the league to have those types of coaches. And, you know, as a first-year coach, you certainly have big shoulders that you can lean on and get that extra boost up on.
Yeah, I mean, are you kidding me? I couldn't have lucked out any better to have those guys. You know, first of all, bringing Gary back, there's a certain comfort zone, being that I worked with Gary. I only worked with him for 1 year, but he'd worked with Lynn for a long time. And, you know, in that year that we worked together and in my many conversations with Lynn about, you know, him as well, you know, he knows the league. He knows the league. He studies the game. He's a gym rat. He wants to be on the floor with players whenever they're around. He's got a terrific defensive mind. And the one area that we have been so successful in is the defensive end of the floor. And, you know, bringing Gary back, I think we're really going to make a concerted effort to get back to being a great defensive team, not just a good defensive team, but a great defensive team. And he's going to have ownership of that. That's going to, you know, be his vision, and I'm going to allow him to do that because that's what he does well. And I also know that's not one of my strengths, and I think part of what I want to do is bring in people who have strengths that are my weaknesses, and he's certainly one of those guys. You know, Gail, the experience that she's had on so many levels, I mean, I've had the utmost respect for Gail and what she's accomplished, you know, on and off the floor for a long time. And to have her availability and her willingness to come in and to be a part of this organization, I'm just on cloud nine. I mean, her brain, her basketball mind, her X's and O's on both ends of the floor, you know, her experience, she's going to help our team get to another level in terms of execution, offensively, defensively. She's going to help me in any situation. Just transitioning from that next seat over, she's been there. She's done that. She understands. So another sounding board that I can have that has had coaching experience, as has Gary. And both of these guys are really great with players. I mean, just understanding the league, understanding the stress that the players are under in terms of not just performance, but the travel. You know, the education piece isn't there in terms of scholarship athletes, but the education in terms of basketball is the film work, watching the game, getting on the floor, working on the little things that we need to do to become better individual players. We don't have an off season to work with them. We have a very finite amount of time, and I have two of the best coaches in the league that can help us get the most out of them while they're here.
You know, don't let Antonelli hear about this defensive stuff, though.
We can have both. We can have both.
This is fun. Just remember that everybody's put here to score. That's what they're all about.
I think there's a happy medium somewhere in there, David, don't you?
Well, I don't know. If she's covering the games, you know, you don't want to hear what the broadcast is going to say. If you
well, yeah, I think
defense.
I'll have to mute the broadcast. I can do that.
you know, one thing that I did want to ask you now, with the changes, you have always had a ridiculous schedule between doing the college games with the various networks and working with the Fever, before that even with the Sky and all. And what are you finding is different in your demands on your time now as a head coach? You know, now you're the face. You know, other than Tamika, you're the one that's making the appearances on the shows, doing the TV time and things. I mean, has that been a substantial difference for you?
Well, I cut back a lot on my TV this year. I probably did half of what I have done in the past, so that I could be around for a lot of that stuff. You know, I did a lot early when I first came back to Indiana as an assistant coach as well. So far, it hasn't been that bad. I mean, a lot of it's, you know, hitting morning shows here and there, doing radio call-ins, going into the studios and things. So it hasn't been demanding in terms of full days. At this point, and it hasn't been. I mean, it's been different in terms of doing more, but nothing that's earth-shattering or that changes the landscape or the viewpoint of where I've been before. I think being a part of the media helps me understand their demands as well as our demands. So I bend over backwards to try to make everything work. The other thing is, since I'm here and I'm not commuting from somewhere else, I think it's a little bit easier for me because I might not need to be in an office that day, but I might just head over to a studio to do a morning show or call in to do a radio show or do a clinic, like just had a clinic today. you know, so it's not been that bad yet. I think once we get into season and we see how things are going with in terms of strategy and scouts and schedule and then doing that stuff on top of that, it may be a little different. And I also think it's different this year too, David, honestly, because we have time. I mean, last year we'd started training camp now or close right. to it. You know, I feel like we had the draft and now we have to wait another month. I'm just twiddling my thumbs. I can't wait for players to get here. I can't wait to get in the gym.
Well, you know, now aren't you doing, was today the one with Calipari? I mean, you're doing.
Oh, that's Friday.
Clinic.
Yeah, Friday.
So, you know, you're going to just say, haha, I get to have people that have played 4 years?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny, though, because I think I speak at like 5:30 and he's not until 9:30 at night. Every time I go to this clinic and Calipari's there, he's not till like late at night. I'm like, what, is he the guy that's supposed to keep everybody up, or is he a night owl? He can't get up there in time. Like, what's up with that? I want to see some
well,
of this
you know,
stuff. I'm going to have to stick around all day.
That's it. You're going to have to. You're going to got to watch to learn that, because now, segueing into the one other thing that I wanted to ask you about, is because everybody has to discuss it right now, is now we're starting to get the non-4-year graduates from college with the situation in this year's draft with Jewel Lloyd and Amanda Zowie B going pro before their eligibility had expired. Now, you know, I personally do not think that this is going to be something that it's something we're going to have to keep an eye on, of course, but I don't think it's going to happen all that frequently because of the age requirement. But it does change things, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, it is something, I think the only other time we've seen it, well, Epiphany Prince, when she went to Europe first and then came back, and Candace Parker when she had already graduated with the redshirt year. You know, I think that the having already graduated after utilizing a redshirt year is something that the expectation is you can see that. We get that. You know, the coming out early with the age thing versus a graduation is probably something that we didn't really think would happen, just because financially there's no difference in coming out 1 year versus the other. You know, it's been obvious in our league that, you know, injuries don't prevent you from being drafted. We understand you know what it takes to get healthy, and you wait on that. It's just so different than the NBA. You know, it's so different than any other professional sport in terms of that. I don't think it's going to become a habit. I think that there are certainly exceptional players like the two that we saw this year that have the ability to do that, and each has their own unique circumstances and why they made that choice. You know, we may see one or two a year. You know, I don't see it becoming a regular thing, because it's just financially, it's just not worth it yet.
And then the other side of that is you now have players, you have situations where players are sitting out a little bit more. We had seen a bit of that with some over the course of time. Now, Taurasi has taken this year off, which she had said for many years that she was going to do. Parker is going to be late, if at all. And, you know, now I'm also hearing rumblings that Sylvia Fowles, for various reasons, may be sitting out some. So, you know, with Europe always being the big dollar compared to the U.S., you know, this is the other problem we have to face, as
yeah,
you were mentioning with the players going overseas.
Right. You know, I think one of the other things, too, is you look at where these players are in their careers. You know, you talked about our team. I mean, when we've had really the 6, 7, 8 year players that have been playing for that long for 12 months of the year, eventually your body's going to break down if it hadn't already, or if you hadn't been playing through that. So I think, you know, everybody understands a need to find a way to take time off, to let your body heal, especially when you're an Olympian. So when you do get a couple of, you know, moments off, whether it be an Olympic break or, you know, a little bit of time in the fall that was going into FIBA, if you don't get that break, you don't have time to recover. So it's again, it's the hand that we're dealt. It's something we're going to have to take into consideration. But you look at where these players, especially, you know, Candace Parker and Diana Taurasi, are in their career. I mean, they have worked their way to be able to, number one, financially get what they're getting right now, but number two, what they put their bodies through over the last however many years they've been playing. I mean, you know what, you got a 2001, was Taurasi 2001, 2002 graduation? When did she graduate college? I mean,
four.
It's been a long time, 2004, so it's been a long time. When you get old, all the years start running together, right?
I just know because I was in New Orleans for that Final Four.
There you go. But, you know, it's again, it's unique circumstances. It's timing in their career. I mean, they're on probably the tail ends of their career as well. And you got to find a way to manage the time that you have left. It's just the reality of the situation, and I don't think there's going to be a mass exodus of players who are just going to say, oh, I'm just going to take this time off. It's too competitive. We play. We're all involved in the game because we love the game, because it's competitive. We have a unique opportunity and a short window of opportunity to play this game that we love and to make money while we're doing it. And so I fully believe that every player is going to and wants to take advantage of each of these opportunities.
Well, Steph, you certainly have a lot coming up in front of you with the season coming up and the appearances and, of course, the family life. Boy, you know, I give you lots of credit for doing everything that you're doing at one time and doing it all well. You know, so congratulations on the first head coaching job, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the Fever is going to do this year.
Thanks, David. I appreciate it.
And when's camp open?
May 17th.
And your first exhibition game?
First exhibition game is May 23rd. We have an exhibition in Louisville, and then the 29th is our first home exhibition game.
That's great. I knew that you would have these dates marked down, no question about
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, Steph, again, thanks again for your time. Congratulations.
All right, thanks, David. Appreciate it.